Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. Mm-hmm. We would love to hear from you, so send us an email with your question or comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And I hope that you are so enjoying the coverage of the Eucharistic Congress mm-hmm. that's coming to you. And EWTN is doing a great job. So keep it on EWTN to know all the things that are happening and the teachings and the processions and the beauty and the worship. And we pray that it have an impact on your life and all the lives of the people who
are revived in the Lord.
And be renewed and be restored. Well, we are thrilled to have Julie Nelson with us again today. Now, Julie is a radio host and a speaker who has a passion for helping women to discover the fullness of who they are and whose they are. You could go out to her website called Jewels for the Crown, J-U-L-E-S, Jewels for the Crown.
That in particular is her speaking ministry, mm-hmm. right? Jewels for the Crown, speaking mm-hmm. ministry. Then she's a host of Catholic Women Now mm-hmm. radio program out of Iowa. You can get her app and hear her all the time.
Uh-huh, which is good. And I hope you enjoyed the show yesterday, and we're going to have another great conversation today because it's the culture out there. There is a war against women. There is a war against marriages. There's a war against families. And especially for women, the devil does not like you. The culture doesn't like you because you get to participate with God Almighty in growing a baby, life within your womb. And we all know that we're against the culture of death. And God is the author of life.
And God likes you.
Yes.
God loves you. And what you need to hear is what was said to Jesus Christ by the Heavenly Father in the power of the Spirit. You're my beloved daughter, and I'm really pleased with you. We're going to be hearing that message in just a few moments. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome. We're thrilled to have with us today Julie Nelson. She is joining us again, and she is a radio host. She's a speaker, and she has a beautiful passion for helping women to discover the fullness of who they are and whose they are. Go out to our website. It's jewelsforthecrown.com. Well, tell our family briefly just about your radio show and your podcast and how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, so the name of the show is Catholic Women Now, and we're heard on Iowa Catholic Radio. We have an app, Iowa Catholic Radio app. You can download and get our podcasts. They're all recorded there. And our whole goal is what's on the hearts and minds of women, all women. And I tell you, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. Women have a lot of interests, they have a lot on their heart. And so we talk about everything from marriage, parenting, devotions, theology of the body is a really popular mm-hmm. one right now, to masculinity, femininity, the complementary role in our marriage. Just feminism today, what mm-hmm. that looks like in the church and what it looks like in culture and the challenges that are being faced right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, with all that you're all the different topics and what you're sharing and discussing, what's at the core of it? What's at the core of, if you don't get this, you know, I say for guys, if I button my shirt in the wrong place, everything's not buttoned right. Mm-hmm. So you can go over all these different topics and so on, but at the very core, the very identity. Speak to us about that.
Yes, that's something that I just came into for myself not too long ago, actually, in the last 10 years. And when I heard about it, I was just blown away. So it's the understanding that, as Joy, you said earlier, it's not who we are, it's whose we are. And this kind of goes back to Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, where Paul says that we have been not given a spirit of fear, a slavery to fall back in fear, but we've been given a spirit of adoption in which we come into Abba Father. And we come into Abba Father and that deep longing that's in our hearts for more that we can't always understand or express is that longing and love with the Father. And through that, what does that mean when you become an adopted daughter or adopted son of God? It means that we come into God's life. We come into His heart. We come into His love. And so many times I think we have to go after it. We have to get it. And maybe like we're sitting at the sidelines trying to figure out how we're going to get on the field and get into the game and get to God. But God is already here. Jesus is already here with us through our baptism. And Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 3, that that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Has blessed means past. It was said in the past. It means it's true in the present. And we are heirs, and we have an inheritance. And what is that inheritance? Anything that's in heaven is ours. So what does heaven look like? Heaven's love, heaven's peace. Heaven's got helpers for us, right? With the saints and the angels. And we come into that understanding. Now, this is something that's not taught necessarily. I can give the principles and the foundation, but it's almost like it's caught. Like I can tell you and describe to you the most delicious meal, but until you taste it, you don't understand what I'm talking about. So it comes in through prayer. It comes in through reading the scripture and believing that that is God's word for us. I tell women that the scripture is God's love letter to us. He wrote it just for you. And that's important. And that's how we start to come walking into that. And we don't have to do. You know, striving is a big thing right now.
And women, really, I see for me in my work where we work at the Pregnancy Medical Center, my biggest enemy is deception, because women are believing so many lies about who they are, about what they should do with their lives, and listen to the devil, especially that they are sexual objects, that abortion is good for women, that abortion is women's health care, and they're believing all those lies. And I see on a daily basis the wreckage of them and the brokenness of them. And it's the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. They bit the apple, and now they're getting the fruit of that apple, and it's death, death to their soul. And so you have to come up alongside of them, and almost you have to renew their mind, which only happens through the Word of God, right? We have to put on our helmet of salvation. We have to know whose we are, but somebody has to tell them. That's what you get to do.
We come along and tell them, and as we talked about, I know in the earlier show, accompany them and almost witness and model to them a little bit of that too. I think the lies are the biggest thing that we battle. And they say that, you know, the mind is the greatest battlefield that we have, that we fight in. And the one of the lies that I see so strongly in women today is striving in a performance base. We live in a culture where there's so much based on performance, and that we have to do, we have to earn God's love, and it's there already. He's already there with us. And one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 5:5, where it says that God's love is poured into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Say it again.
God's love is poured into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is to seek His love and ask Him, pour that love.
Pour it.
Just as simple as saying, Lord, show me. I mean, that is probably the greatest prayer is, Lord, show me. I'm yours. I'm yours. But the lies are a big thing. And the thing with the performance base, which is the most common, it happens in any kind of sector. You see it in your work that you do at the Pregnancy Center, is that I think the best example is, you see it really prominent, is like in career-oriented or athletes. You know, they have this goal and they get a D1 scholarship and they're doing really well and they get an injury. And we can do all the self-help. We can read all the self-discovery books we want. But circumstances happen, right? We can't control everything. And so if an injury happens, it's like, they struggle with their identity. Who I am now? Mm-hmm. Who am I now? Mm-hmm. I'm not a D1 soccer player. Who am I? And then the first thing is that's where an opening for the devil to say, mm-hmm. you're a failure.
Right.
You didn't succeed. You're no good. And we start to swallow those lies, mm-hmm. is what I say. We swallow those lies and we start to let our minds to go there.
Right, and we believe that.
And we start believing.
Instead of, and we experienced this with our grandchildren who were athletes and had injuries, it is an opportunity for now to say, God, who am I right now? And what do you want to teach me through this illness, through this sideline, because mm-hmm. I'm on the sideline. And sometimes God puts us on the sideline of life to teach us greater lessons so that, and it comes through suffering. But we as a society, we want to repel suffering at all costs. Mm-hmm. And so what we do then is then we medicate the pain. Mm-hmm. So we might drink, we might do drugs, we might become sexually promiscuous. Instead of dealing with the pain and saying, Jesus, enter into this place where I find myself right now because you're here. And you're the only constant in my life. And after the sports and after all the accolades and all that stuff, Jesus is only the only one who could tell you who you are at the end of the day.
And can satisfy that deepest longing
yes.
that we may not be able to express ourselves. I think one of the best questions, and I've done this with people, that gets us starts getting us to think that is just to say, Jesus, what do you think of me right now? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a powerful question.
Yeah.
And we know that God speaks to us lovingly. Mm-hmm. He won't condemn. So
yeah.
if you're hearing a condemning voice, we know that's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks to us lovingly. And people, if you don't think you can hear Jesus' voice, you will hear Jesus' mm-hmm. voice. He will come to you and answer you in that question
right.
and tell you who you are, how he sees you. And that's so important, is to see ourselves as God sees us,
mm-hmm.
and God sees us without blemish. God sees us as he created us to be. All the things that he created in us, that when he deemed that we'd be born at this time with these gifts, with these attributes, he put that longing in our heart for him. And he put that longing in the heart knowing he would be able to satisfy that longing.
Mm-hmm.
The prologue to the catechism is so beautiful, and Father Mike Schmitz does the catechism in the year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I don't read introductions in books or mm-hmm. prologues. I want to get to it right
mm-hmm.
away. So when I started doing that, I finally listened to the prologue. It is so amazing. And if anybody wants to learn anything, just go to the first 5 lessons of the prologue of that catechism podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was listening to it, all of a sudden it struck me that my childhood vision of how God created me was like, first he created my hair color, then my eye color, and then my skin, and then he put the inside in me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the opposite.
Mm.
He creates this, he has this beautiful being in his hand, and it's you. And he's saying, oh, Julie, I want you to have this, and I want you to have that. And he's picking it out just for you and mm-hmm. no one else. And then he gives us the skin and the eye color.
Mm-hmm.
But he has created that just for us, out of love, from love to love.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And for him.
And for him.
And so
for
that
love.
In our living, in our doing, in our being, our heart's desire is just to be pleasing children in his sight. So that by the end of the day, if that's our heart's desire, because we just want to please the Lord that we love with all of our mm-hmm. heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're going to have a good day.
We're going to have
and
a good
God's going to be happy. And at the end of the day, that's the only one you could please. And we learned a long time ago to do what we do for the audience of one, just Jesus. Because there's no pleasing your spouse, there's no pleasing your children, there's no pleasing. But if you're coming from a place of pleasing God, you're gonna totally satisfy your spouse, you're gonna totally be the best mom you could be, the mother-in-law you can be, and that little sphere of influence that Jesus gives us all.
That's right. I do want to talk a little bit about the lies, because we can do something about lies.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to live like our head down, try and push through life, kind of throwing them off. We can say, I want to break up with this lie.
Mm-hmm.
This is not true. Look, Jesus, I want to just help me to break up with this lie, because
mm-hmm.
you know, that's, we've been given that we can contend for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Someone once said to me, Jesus didn't die and go through all that for us to have a weak church,
mm-hmm.
right? He did that for us. He empowered us. So we can just say, hey, that's a lie, and I'm not going for it. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, I want you to come right now and show me what it is you want for me, because it's I know it's not this.
Right.
And the best thing we can say to a friend when you're with a friend and they're kind of going into those lies, like, oh, I failed, I'm not good enough, you're so much better. Just say to them, who told you that lie? And that just brings it around so quickly. And you're right. God doesn't talk to me like that.
And the problem is that maybe their parents have talked to them like that. So then you have to rewind that tape and discard it and say, no, this is what God says about you. This is who you are. This is what He believes about you. And you have to speak that back into their soul, that it would flourish and become a beautiful garden of everything that is good and true and beautiful. But it is silencing the enemy and just saying, that's a lie.
Yeah, there's that thing about, I mean, ain't having it today, you know, with you, Satan. I think, too, that you can find the truths in Scripture. You know, there's some beautiful Song of Psalms. It's a beautiful scripture of God's love for us. And just reading those truths out loud and just speaking them over yourself, you know, is so, that God can change our thought life. We, you know, if we give our thought life to God, He can change it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, He says, it takes us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light is here on this earth. It's living in that fullness of God's love for us and knowing that He's who I'm serving at the end of the day.
Right. And it's crying out to the Lord, renew my mind.
Yes,
ask Lord, just renew my mind. And then let Him renew your mind. And then let Him erase all the lies that you've been hearing, all those voices, the negative voices, maybe from your past, maybe from your present, but so that you can go into your future knowing you're living a life as what God says about who you are and what He wants to do with you.
And everything we do, our vocations are, you know, whether it's wife, mother, working outside the home, singleness, anything, all comes from this, flows out of this identity. It all flows out of that. Because once you understand that, because God is a God of order, and this is the order He has for us.
Well, Julie, we're going to carry you over for the final segment, and I hope that we can continue this important conversation. I hope you're getting brainwashed. By that, I mean that your brain is being washed by the blood and the water of Jesus Christ. People say to me, you've been brainwashed with this Catholicism. I say, you're right. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, and my mind is being renewed. May that be true for you right now. Receive that. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Continuing our conversation with Julie Nelson. And Julie, we were sharing about the need for mind renewal, our own taking action, holding on to the grace of God, and thinking differently. What does that look like? What does a renewed mind look like? How does it act and think?
Yes, that's good. One of the things is we have hope. And there's a difference between hope and optimism. Optimism is more of a natural thing of looking. Hope that doesn't disappoint, that Paul talks about in Romans. Hope that, you know, knowing what the lies are and you're rejecting the lies and you're living in hope, knowing that God's going to do what he says He's going to do. That's one. Another one is you begin to like yourself in the fact that you accept your weaknesses and you accept that when you're weak, God is strong, and you accept your strengths. And one of the things about that is I remember the first time this happened for me, it was such a big deal. I was very sensitive, and my family would joke around, and I would take a joke so personally. It's like, oh my gosh, you guys are making fun of me, blah, blah, blah. And they'd be like, oh, Mom, lighten up. And I'm like, no, I'm right. And the first time they started joking around, and I started joking with them, and I could laugh with them, and I could laugh at myself. And that's, I began to like myself and like the skin I was in and knowing that that's what God created me. I accepted how God created me. Another thing is we live in peace. there's more peace in our life. There's less worry, less dread. Worry leads to dread. And we have peace. And that peace comes from not going to speculations that we don't know are true. Mm-hmm. Your husband's late coming home from work. Is he been in a car accident? I don't know. I'm worried about this. Well, no, maybe his boss held him back, just said, I'm giving you a promotion. So we're not speculating mm-hmm. in those negative things anymore. So you can kind of see this is a little bit about thinking less negative and thinking more positive. You're quicker to forgive people mm-hmm. and you have more mercy towards people. That's a big renewal of the mind. You have gratitude. You live your life with gratitude and confidence. And that gratitude comes because you realize what you've been given you didn't deserve from God, right? Don't we all feel unworthy sometimes? And I think, oh, I'm so unworthy, but you make me worthy and I don't deserve it. But to be grateful for that moment. Another one is to give people the benefit of the doubt mm-hmm. and not to be quick to judge their motivations. That kind of goes back to that peace and those perceptions as well. That's another one. Another one is to, I'm trying to think here, there's several more. But you can see where it's positive mm-hmm. thinking. It's thinking as God thinks. It's thinking as Jesus thinks, and sometimes it's helpful just to stop and say, well, Jesus, what do you think of this situation? Mm-hmm. Jesus, do I need to be worried?
Right.
You know, help me to turn that around. That's actually a very, once you can get to that point where you think, oh, this is happening, and then you take that moment, pause, maybe it's a prayer. Sometimes mm-hmm. a prayer helps, just a simple prayer like, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, help me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then reset your mind yeah. in the moment and yeah. to renew that mind. And to think more as God thinks about life.
Just to gaze upon the crucified Christ.
Yes.
It's so nice when we go to Mass, to go into the sanctuary and just to look at the Lord upon the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, no greater love is there than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. It's not that you love me, it's that I love you.
Right.
And we don't have enough of those moments.
And those are big moments.
Mm-hmm. Big moments.
They're mm-hmm. big moments. That's probably, I would say personally, my own thought is, that's the crux of a renewed mind, of accepting that God loves us just for who I am. Mm-hmm. And who I am.
We just have about a minute left. Just speak a word to any woman out there that you want them to hear through you from the Lord.
I just ask Jesus that who's listening to this today, if you're wondering where your place is, if you're wondering if you have worth, if you're wondering that God even sees you, I just want you to know God loves you, He sees you, and if you're not one in a million, you're not one of a million, you're one in a million, and His eyes and His gaze are upon you. Jesus sees you, and if you were the only one in the world, Jesus would still come down from heaven and die just for you.
Julie, thank you so very much. Welcome to the EWTN family
fully.
It's jewelsforthecrown.com. Go there. God bless you and all of your loved ones. You're never alone. You're an important part of the EWTN family, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.